Lord Jesus, without you, we're going to complete only what our flesh can do. But with you, nothing is impossible. So look at your neighbor and say, nothing is impossible. If you've got more than one neighbor, you better do it again. Amen. Did you hear? Obey, 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 obey. Amen. I love that when they wear the shirt to give the commands. This particular lesson started yesterday after an incident that I wasn't happy about. How many have had accidents and silly things that happen to you that you don't like and you're not happy about? But after the fact, God decides to speak. After the fact. Not before. In plain English, not before you're screwed up. Okay? He speaks after. To what? To put a new mindset in your head. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, pull down every stronghold and make it obedient to Christ. Well, I've tried and I did not succeed, so now I've got it turned around. I say, Lord, you pull down the strongholds because I can't. I tried, I don't succeed, so it must be that you're the one that's going to do it and not me. Now, we've had that argument, me and him, for, several years. And don't despair. But this is what I heard. My son, when I chose you, I didn't choose a vessel that you could perfect. And I was ready to cry. Now close your eyes. I want you to wear that one. Say, when God chose me, He didn't give me a vessel to perfect it for myself. How do you like them apples? After that, he says, I chose you so that I could perfect you. Just trust me. I chose you so that I could perfect you. Why? Because my concept of perfect and his concept of perfect is what? Probably night and day. So if I think I'm perfect, guess what? I'm way below the mark. I will do abundantly more than you can ask or think. My plan is going forward. You will see my glory. And then he told me to go to look at Joshua chapter 1. So I went to my Bible and I started looking for Joshua and I found him. And of course, it's my servant Moses is dead. But I will be with you as I was with him. How many know there were a few signs and wonders in the day of Moses? But the anointing was God revealing himself in a new way in Joshua. And they were already in the promised land. Yeah. Okay. What are you trying to tell me? One of the great gifts of Joshua is that he listened for the instructions in order to take over the city. And of course it was Jericho. And it was so silly, the entire city fell when everybody in the company obeyed as one voice. This morning, He said, go to Hebrews chapter 4. That was my hello, how are you this morning from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. And he said to me, read what I told you yesterday that I told you to write. Read it. Now, obviously, I went over it, and, you know, I thought I had it down pretty good yesterday, but it was even more difficult to swallow this morning because I like things right and good and perfect. I like it. I like it. Well prepared. I like things that look nice. He said, where do you think you got that from? And obviously, I'd love to say it's from him. But you know what? Some of that doesn't come from God. Because, like we heard in the song, even with a dirty diaper, he still loved me. Yes? Even when I was a brat, walking in the rain, sticking my tongue out, trying to get a lick, he loved me. Even when I got mad at him because my dog died and I had my first argument with God, I was 11 years old and I wasn't going to let him off the hook. He still loved me. Well, after all, when you're 11 and the only one that loves you is your pooch, it's pretty hard to digest when that pooch goes in the other direction. And I wanted a funeral for my dog and I didn't get a funeral. That was my second problem. My third problem is because my dad was probably just as broken as I was and he decided to solve his problem with a bottle of booze. So much for my feelings and my emotions. So I wasn't mad just at one father. I was mad at two fathers. So if you think you're normal when you get mad, and you probably stay angry for a while, you are normal. My suggestion is get over it quickly, because it's not healthy. So anyway, I went to look at that again, and I said, okay, so you chose me, and you're the one that wants to perfect me, and I want you to do it. I've retired several times, and I keep trying to help you, and I get in the way, and your eyes already heard this kind of stuff already several times. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, I have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And I wrote down, Father, I'm getting it. You're in control. And I rely on Jesus, my high priest, and yours. And I will rely on Jesus, my high priest, and yours. And he has full understanding of all that I have need of, even in my brain and in my mind. So if you want to borrow that prayer, you're welcome. He has all the knowledge of what you need in your brain and in your mind. He has. The only problem is we try to fix it ourselves. Okay? And if it doesn't go fast enough, we take a couple of pills. Or like my dad, a couple of shots. How many have got a few alcoholics around them? Okay, drug addicts, what's the difference? Same stuff. They solve their problem instantly. How many have ever taken a few shots to solve the problem? Thank you. Good heavens, you're normal. Okay? But does it really work? Not when the hangover comes. Not when the repercussions come. Okay? And so you're normal. Now, is normal good enough or is normal lower than perfect? He wants to perfect me his way. I want to get the solution instantly. Have any friends out there? The strongholds that are in need of being torn down. You, Lord Jesus, are the one who carried away my sin. And I don't have it anymore. There is a new vision of truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen? He's the truth manifest in the earth. We saw him, and we saw him in actions through four gospels. We saw his ability to be totally different than the rest of humanity. Amen? And we are born of his spirit. Amen? And it's his spirit that changed him. How do we know that? Because when Jesus was born of Mary, he was born under the anointing of the Father by the Holy Ghost. Amen? But he was just like all the other kids, except when the kings came over. And when he got to be 12, he started a few arguments. And he answered a few solutions from the great hierarchy of his day. But as far as the rest of the time, he was a kid. Until he got to be 30. Why did he go to the Jordan? We know for sure because the Father sent him. Because he didn't do anything to please himself. John 5, verse 19 and 30. Okay? He didn't do anything to please himself. He was going because Papa was pushing. How many have done things because Papa was pushing? Amen. Papa is the real guy that's on the job to perfect us. And he's got a couple of helpers, the Holy Ghost and the Son, Jesus Christ, the high priest. I was speaking to a lady today, and I was reminding her that Jesus is not sitting on the judgment seat. He's sitting on a mercy seat. Now, when I was growing up, there was constant reprimand that I was being a bad boy and I would make Jesus cry. Well, I hate to tell you, that's a wives' tale. It's not God. Jesus doesn't get bent out of shape if I make it and do it wrong. He doesn't cry because I goofed. But he's sitting on a mercy seat waiting for me to say, I did it wrong. And as soon as that word comes out of my heart, the Father is faithful to forgive me because Jesus has already interceded for me. How do you like them apples? See, when we judge someone else, we're not of the character of Christ. We're of the character of the flesh. After all, we should get a pound of flesh because they misbehaved and they did it wrong. But God is saying, do it my way. Give them mercy even if they don't deserve it. And the first one you're going to have to pour some mercy on is you. You're the first recipient of mercy. Say, I am the first recipient of mercy. And if I give enough of it away, I'll be getting more and more until I overflow with mercy and love. Amen? So, the new vision that I want you to see of the truth is to look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. And you're going to find that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Now, my concept and my religious upbringing was that Jesus was already perfect in every way. Well, if you're perfect, how can you learn obedience through what you suffer? There must have been some emotional turmoil. Now, you and me probably never had a great deal of emotional turmoil compared to him, but I believe he had quite a pile of it. And when I first understood that he learned obedience through what he suffered, my mind went bonkers. It didn't want to digest. Now, that's quite a few years back. But it gave me hope that like him, he would perfect that which concerns me. And out of those hardships and out of those disappointments, I could trust him because he would understand my heart, because his heart was formed through the things he suffered. And then I really put the Lord to the wall. How many have ever pushed him? Right to the wall. I said, God, I'm not happy about one part of your life. Because Jesus is the fullness of Christ. The fullness of the Father is in him, visible in the earth. Okay. I said, what about those 17 years that we don't know what you did? Because if you add it up, from 13 to 30, not a peep out of them. That's a lot of years. He said, in my heart, this is what I heard. Am I not the son of David? Said, yes, you are. Jesus is the son of David. He said, like father, like son. I said, you mean to tell me that what you went through as a boy, growing up, your teenage years, all the way up to 30, were similar to father, Jesus Christ, like the son, David? He said, who revealed my nature? Through his songs. And why were they sung in all of Israel for hundreds of years? And the emotional turmoil that you see David in, constantly choosing to trust the Father. And when I first got to know the Lord, the best medicine was the songs. When I got disappointed in God, when I got disappointed in the circumstances in my life, I would read Psalms 27 and the fear would just begin to disintegrate. I would read Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. And you know, I would read Psalms 37, it would get a little deeper. And I said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He said, why do you think I understand brokenness? Because it was difficult. And that's when he showed me to go into John chapter 7. When I went to John chapter 7, I saw his brothers couldn't stand him. And they didn't believe in him either. King David's brothers didn't stand and couldn't stand him. Even his father forgot him in the fields when it was time to anoint the next king of Israel. Think about it! Did you get forgotten on purpose, or did God have a plan for you to taste hardship and suffering so that he could develop his sonship in you? What is he trying to do? He's trying to make you a king and a priest. And he's not going to give up until he gets it right. And you know what? Stop trying to perfect yourself. Because you're going to go below the mark. The mark is Jesus Christ. He will perfect that which is, what? Is his and concerns him. He wants you like him. Anything less won't make the mark. And I can't produce that kind of wisdom. I can't produce that kind of love and compassion and mercy. I just can't do it. I can't even heal myself. I'm pretty good at putting a piece of tape on a mess. That I can do. That's about as far as I can go. My doctor friend saw me through surgery. Chose the surgeons that were needed. But you know what? Jesus did the healing. They took out the infection. They cut it open. They took it out. They cleaned it up. They gave me antibiotics. They fought for my life. But you know what? The bottom line is, Jesus did the rest. Amen? So don't ever underestimate. God will use everyone in His power to sustain you until He can perfect you. Because He loves you. And He loves me. But you know what? That's so hard to speak because the unbelief. Well, if He loved me, why did He let me suffer? Come on. Am I alone? Then how are you going to learn obedience without suffering? Because if the firstborn son had to suffer, Hebrews 4, in order to learn obedience, why is it that suffering happens in your life? Why? Because His plan is unfolding. Yeah, and I know I'm preaching. Okay? But it's okay. There's joy in the cup of suffering. Yes. Verse 9. Once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. And God made Him priest in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5:14 says, Jesus is the great high priest who has gone through the heavens. Gone through the heavens. And I was stuck on that. Gone through the heavens. What does that mean? If He's the great high priest and He's going through the heavens, what's He doing in the heavens? He's cleaning up the place. How many funerals do you see Jesus go to that He left the person dead? In the Scriptures, how many funerals do you see Jesus go and leave the person dead? He ruined every funeral. He just might decide to ruin your pity party. He just might. He just might. Because, you know, I was listening to the gentleman on TV about it's supernatural. Sid Roth. And he was advertising one of the videos that a young man took. And this ministry in Africa have gotten as many as 80 people brought back from the dead. And if they're not dead more than a few hours, they don't even bother praying for them. Are you ready for the next wave of God's grace to come to America? Are you ready for God to say, okay, next time I send you to a funeral, prepare for a resurrection? Are you ready for that kind of instruction? Are you ready? I know I don't think I'm ready. I really don't. I told the Lord, I don't think I'm ready. But I want it. Now there's a difference between me wanting and me doing. Amen? But I'm learning obedience through what I'm suffering now. And even in the disappointments of my own failures. I'm not upset about what happened. I am going to grow from it. I'm not going to groan and go through all the poor me's. I am going to celebrate and say, Jesus, next time, let's do it your way. Next time, let's do it your way. Once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation. So what is He after in you? He's after perfection. And once He has recreated you in the perfection of His Son, what's going to happen when you go to a funeral? The same thing that happened when Jesus went. The widow who had lost her son. Come on, son. Let's go thank Mama and bring her back to life too. Catching on? Why is he looking for the people to be restored in harmony and in unity? Because it's the only way he's going to do it. He's going to do it through the body of Christ, through the people that he loves. Before I knew any of what I've just shared with you, I had been filled with the Holy Spirit a few years. And at that time, Rick had the two children, the two boys. And across the street from where he was living, this would be about 1982 or 83. And Patty, my daughter-in-law at the time, called my wife. Actually, she called me because my wife was working. I was at home. Would you please come over to the apartment right now, to the house? She says, there's a major problem, and if you could get Irene to come, we need her. And she was crying. And she said, the baby across the street is dead. And so the police are on their way. So I picked up Irene and called her. And we went down to the apartment. And Irene went with the ladies. And I went into the apartment with the baby. And I had held the baby just a few days before. Beautiful little child. And the baby was maybe 3-4 weeks old. Just a beautiful little baby. And the lady said, it's crib death. Well, I didn't know anything about crib death. My vocabulary in that area was next to zero. But I remember walking through that living room and the little bassinet was in the front room, and I walked in several times because I was waiting for the police to come. And I was praying in the Spirit. And I'm talking to God because I'm not happy. Not happy at all. You know, I mean, a brand new baby. What did that baby do wrong? You know, I mean, all the normal questions that happen. And I remember the Lord saying to me, just obey. Kind of odd that you should wear that wonderful shirt, right? Just obey. So I said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. He says, you're doing it. So I'm walking around. And I did this for almost 2.5 hours. Just holding the fort until the proper authorities would come and do what needed to be done, etc., etc. And it took a while because the father had to come. You know, all the details needed to be completed. And of course, I had a long conversation with the Lord. But the Lord said to me, it's not time for you to lay hands on that baby and to bring that baby back to life. Because that's what I wanted. But it's not time. But you know what he said to me? There's a day where you will do that. Your faith needs to be upgraded. So the fault is not with God. The missing links are where? How much unbelief is in me? How much unbelief is it in me that holds me back from letting him perfect me? Ouch! But that's the bottom line, isn't it? The bottom line isn't God waiting to get it done. He's waiting for us to go higher. But that's part of the process of perfecting us and preparing us. Amen? So would you take a chance with me? Would you just close your eyes right now? Father, I'm asking you to perfect these that you have given us. Perfect them in the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. And by the power of His Spirit, recreate the hunger and the desires that are needed in them for that perfection to be performed by you and you alone. And by your Spirit, to counsel and comfort them as they go forward in obedience. To become the body of Christ in the earth as one unit in harmony so that nothing will be able to be held back, including the resurrection of the dead. That's what we're aiming for. Because that's what your firstborn son was capable of. And he prayed in John 17 that we would be able to do what he did. I want that prayer answered. Do I get a little tiny? Amen. How many have a hesitation? Amen. Amen. Share some love.